This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hour four of the GBAC Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We are all still in the wake of the Ohtani presser. Said he knew nothing about it, and Ipe has been stealing from him. This segment of the GBAC Nation as we get into hour number four. Brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. It is time now for Eric Chiafalo and an edition of the finest.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, plenty to get to here. March Madness officially underway. It is now Sweet 16 week. We will get some Friday games at the AAC that involve some really intriguing matchups, to say the least. Now, we will address that in a moment. We're down to two teams in the Big 12, so it has not been the greatest tournament in the world when it comes to Big 12 schools. You, of course, have number one Houston. They will be playing at the AAC versus Duke on Friday. That'll be a ton of fun. And then you have Iowa State, the other Big 12 team, Big 12 champion, as a matter of fact. They're the two seed, and they will be playing on Thursday versus Illinois. So those are your final Big 12 teams, but you will get to see Houston and Duke go at it Friday night at the AAC. That'll be awesome. And you'll also have NC State versus Marquette. So those are going to be the two Dallas games for the Sweet 16, and Iowa State and Houston are the two remaining Big 12 teams. We already have the 405 texting in. Let's go Marquette. Tyler Kolek, one of the best guards in the country, and Marquette maybe having the best backcourt in the tournament at this point. And a guy like Kolek can really get it done. The way he closed that game out just yesterday, as a matter of fact, was pretty dang impressive. That dude's a beast. So Shaka Smart, former Longhorns head coach, and Marquette will be playing some basketball here in the Sweet 16, right in our backyard at the AAC. Now, NC State is the final kind of lovey-dovey underdog Cinderella team that I think everybody can sort of get behind. A lot of likable folks in and around that team. But Oakland was the team in round one that stole the show. They beat Kentucky, Will Chambers and company, still losing their minds about it. Jack Golke is the guy, the white dude with the less than ideal hairline that shoots the hell out of the three ball. And what has taken place for him, this has been awesome. Their head coach, Greg Camp, said that the NCAA tournament changed a couple of his players' lives, including Golke. The run is now over. Oakland loses to NC State on Saturday. But this dude, Golke, made three-point history in the tournament. He signed multiple NIL deals. He got to launch his own merch store, and he went from 500 Instagram followers to over 50,000 Instagram followers. This dude's come up is absolutely ridiculous. He's a forever March legend, and I mentioned a couple of those the multiple NIL deals. Here is one of them from this is a commercial I saw. Shout out to the marketing team, capitalizing, striking while the iron's hot. 'Tis the season, TurboTax said, "Hey, Golke, we need you." They posted up of some camera inside a random hotel wherever he was staying at in the midst of the tournament. They're like, "Hey, can we borrow you for a few seconds? We'd like to give you some money, and need you to dribble the ball and shoot a fake jumper on the carpet of this random hotel room floor so we can film a commercial. Take it away, Golke and TurboTax."
Me and my team got to the next round by making all our moves count. Just like TurboTax, who makes all your off-court moves count this tax season.
incredible. And apparently,
living the dream.
Yeah, he is. He is.
Man, I'm so happy these players can get a little piece of this.
Oh, it's epic, dude. Especially for a guy like him. A guy like him who's got basically no NBA future. Nobody knows who he is. And now, after one game where you go 10 of 20 from the three-point line and you upset one of the biggest basketball programs in the country, all of a sudden now you are, you know, you
He's
are.
He's a pitchman. He looks like he could be a spokesman.
Yeah. And he looks like he could also be your accountant.
Sure.
For TurboTax.
That's his next gig.
He probably could do your taxes.
I hope he just gets to do spots like every year. He's like, hey, Golkey, here of the 2024 Final Four there for Oakland. Obviously, I wasn't going to the league, but I'm back with TurboTax.
Yeah, dude, multiple NIL deals. And apparently he said something in an interview about how all these NIL deals, like everything starts happening in real time. Like you become Jack Golkey, like in overnight. You go, you step into the court versus Kentucky as a nobody. You leave that game. Your phone's blowing up. Businesses are reaching out to you. And apparently he created an email account, gave it to his buddies, and told his buddies to just like handle whatever NIL stuff that comes in. And one of them is TurboTax that they thought was a good idea. So that's just hilarious, man.
I saw you got a deal with B-Dubs as well.
He's
rolling in the wings.
That's epic, dude. I'm so happy for a guy like that. And I saw like...
And you get wing money, you've made it.
Agreed, dude. That's really the pinnacle.
Yeah.
And that's the sad part for Golkey. It's really only downhill from here. But but you made it. I mean, you made it to the top. And I saw something about the pregame routine for this guy. Like, you don't just get out of bed and go 10 of 20 versus Kentucky in the tournament from the three-point line. You don't do that as Jack Golkey. The reason why you do that is because apparently his daily routine involves a 9 a.m. to 9:45 a.m. spot shooting 250 shots. Then he does his team practice. Then he comes back later on in the afternoon for 90 minutes and does full speed game situation shooting, 500 shots. So if you want to be the next Jack Golkey, and maybe you don't want his hairline, but you want that jumper and you want these NIL deals, you want that wing money, Dawson.
Yeah.
750 jumpers a day will get it done for you.
Man, I wish Abby could hear that right now.
He shoots that many a game.
Abby. Feels like it.
Yeah, that shot chart, you talked about that
He's
last week.
He's just spraying it, dude.
Yeah, it's all behind the arc.
There's nothing
to chance with him inside the arc. He's all about taking the shot from the outside.
It's phenomenal, dude. And the NC State story, you know, it's Oakland and NC State going toe-to-toe. Oakland loses. Sad to see him, you know, Oakland and Jack Golkey leave the tournament, but it is cool to see what NC State's got going on. DJ Burns is now one of the fan favorites in the tournament. Big man for NC State. He does a side hustle where he owns a couple of vending machines and apparently cashes out because of it. Maybe he gets a sweet deal on the, you know, bags of chips as well, which as a college kid, anytime you can get a discount on anything food-wise, you're going to capitalize. So I don't know if he's getting high on his own supply, so to speak, with the vending machine, but I could understand if he did.
Hopefully he's at least doing it at cost, you know?
Absolutely. There's a break-even situation involved there. But by winning 7 games in the last 12 days, NC State head coach Kevin Keats has earned a $100,000 ACC tournament title bonus, a $400,000 raise beginning next season, 2-year extendo through April 23rd on the contract, $25,000 bonus for beating Texas Tech, and a $50,000 bonus for beating Oakland. This dude just cashing out. Congratulations, Kevin Keats, man. What a run the NC State Wolfpack have been on.
Man, and I feel like I can celebrate with the coaches now. The players can get in on the fun. This is great. Everybody's winning.
Yeah, everybody's
Stack
winning.
The money.
Including the Boilermakers. Everybody thinks Purdue, they're gonna crap down their leg again. That's what they always do. But Shaq Edey, that's right, Shaq Edey says, no, sir, not going to happen. This dude, 7'4", big man, and he's putting up all the numbers right now. Purdue has dominated the first two rounds of this tournament. Haven't really played anybody, sure, I get it, but salute to them because they had a ton of pressure on them going into this tournament here as the narrative of them being a bunch of chokers has really taken a stranglehold over the college basketball community. But Shaquille O'Neal has taken notice of the big man, Zach Edey. He says, I'm changing your name to Zaquiel O'Neal. We got ourselves our very own Shaq Edey situation brewing. And it's because of the numbers he's putting up, dude. Zach Edey of Purdue, first player with 3 straight games with at least 20 points and 3 blocks in the NCAA tournament since...
Kareem.
Shaquille O'Neal for LSU, 91-92. Nice. Shout out to Brian Broaddus, repping the purple.
Yeah, I know you're very proud.
Yeah, very proud. That team's only won like 16 games every year. Seriously, LSU was not a great team with Shaq being there.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
Yeah, they kicked that away.
They did not take advantage
need
of that
better
guy.
Guard play.
Yeah.
It's all about guard play this time of year.
Do you think Edie is an NBA player?
It's a weird deal. I think he is. I think there is a place for him for sure.
I mean, if Boban could be in there.
Yeah, like he belongs on a bench at the very least somewhere in the NBA. I just don't know how the NBA will look at him in terms of, is he a first round pick? Is he a second round guy? I mean, at 7'4".
It sounds like that he went back to school because they didn't think he was an NBA player.
I just don't think you're quick enough to rebound, to block shots, to get out to the perimeter. I just don't think you can defend at all.
Yeah, he's probably too slow-footed to really make a huge impact. But do I think he's going to be in the NBA? Absolutely.
Yeah, you're right. A team's going to need a fourth center, 15th man. We're going to face Jokic. And who knows, maybe his offensive game is skilled enough that, you know, he could at least be a weapon.
He's played in international basketball, too. He's Canadian. So he's had his share of, you know, of those kinds of competitions. Yeah.
Well, here is Purdue head coach Matt Painter being asked about Zach Edey, where a lot of people argue he's only good because he's tall. And here's the Boilermakers head coach saying, go bleep yourself.
You see people, you know, around the country, even, you know, fans, but even people that cover the game say he's just tall. What would you say to the people that say that, that are only looking at the size and not just the game?
Yeah, they just shouldn't cover basketball. Yeah, you know. And so, like, you go to school and you learn things or whatever, but we all don't like every single class we're in, right? It's kind of a necessary evil. It's like going to work. Like, you don't like everybody you work with, or you don't like certain parts of your job, and, you know, it's tough, right? You got to be able to deal with, like, certain things that are difficult. And so I just think everybody should, like, take tests on their knowledge of what they're doing. Like, I think all coaches should take a test so they understand refereeing, and I think all referees should take a test so they understand coaching, and I think all journalists should have to take a basketball quiz or a test, or anybody that tweets, they should have to be able to do it. And if they say something so moronic as that, then they should have to have a probationary status where they can't tweet for like 3 months. I think it'll help like society, you know, like just try to knock out the fools, you know, so they don't have to, you know, meet at the local Walmart and say things that don't make any sense.
That was a damn good rant.
There you go.
Very impressive there from Matt Painter.
Carry him up, Matt.
Now, I mean,
stand up for your guy.
I got 90 seconds worth of Kim Mulkey, whose voice sounds like the, you know, if an ashtray was able to speak. I don't know if you guys want to hear her, but she called out the Washington Post. Apparently, they got a hit piece on her.
They do.
She's getting ahead of this thing. Here is LSU Lady Tigers head coach, formerly of the Baylor Bears.
That's right.
And this is Broadus's lady. This is her starting her pregame presser with, hey, we got to talk about this bleephole journalist from the Washington Post.
This reporter has been working on a story about me for 2 years. After 2 years of trying to get me to sit with him for an interview, he contacts LSU on Tuesday as we were getting ready for the first round game of this tournament with more than a dozen questions, demanding a response by Thursday, right before we're scheduled to tip off. Are you kidding me? This was a ridiculous deadline that LSU and I could not possibly meet, and the reporter knew it. It was just an attempt to prevent me from commenting and an attempt to distract us from this tournament. It ain't gonna work, buddy. Unfortunately, this is part of a pattern that goes back years. I told this reporter 2 years ago that I didn't appreciate the hit job he wrote on Brian Kelly, and that's why I wasn't going to do an interview with him. After that, the reporter called two former college coaches of mine and left multiple messages that he was with me in Baton Rouge to get them to call him back, trying to trick these coaches into believing that I was working with the Washington Post on a story.
So there's Kim Mulkey, and that's just about half of her 3.5-minute rant against the Washington Post and this particular journalist, who I do believe is a Gamecock himself. So there's some SEC hate involved here. There's a little rivalry. Ooh, yeah. But I do look forward. I mean, she's really built up this particular story now. Yeah. We're all going to be waiting to read. Like, she's really hyped it up for us now.
It must be juicy.
There's a nice rollout there. I imagine if you're the Washington Post, you feel good about this. But she says she's threatened to sue them if they are coming out with a story that's not true about her. So we'll see how far that can go. I imagine the Washington Post has, you know, probably the best lawyers in the business there, and they will make sure that story is buttoned up at every turn before they release it to the public there. But she's definitely ticked off and potentially nervous about what's in this thing.
Defamation lawyer she's already hired, too. So, yeah, she's lawyering up, and I guess the Washington Post is always that way because of the line of work they're in.
I mean, might be a dishonest, intrepid reporter. I don't know. I think the way that she reacted suggests that it's potentially damaging. I didn't hear any denials about the things he is going to say, just that maybe he's a liar and he might have an axe to grind here. So, but you know, that one's interesting. When Kim has said stuff in the past, I've cringed. You know, when she was talking about Brittany Griner and, you know, her preference, and, you know, she did not have her back at all. And when she was at Baylor, I was like, wow, that's kind of weird. I know, you know, like, when you look back on her career, you are going to see some things where she ventures into social commentary and you know it's troubling in a Mike Gundy kind of way. She's like the Mike Gundy of women's basketball. And, you know, I think there's potentially a stuff in there that is not going to reflect well on her.
No.
She has had a very long career.
Yeah.
And, you know, I will not be surprised at all. You know, I don't know why anybody has to write it. I think everybody knows it. If you're a fan of Kim Mulkey, if you've been watching Kim Mulkey, if you've seen her at any of the universities that you root for or have gone to and you see her up there, you know what's in there, you know. And, you know, maybe it's a reporter's opinion that times are changed and she doesn't belong in basketball anymore and they're going to try to do a big hit piece and get her canceled. But I am fascinated to see what is in that story. Because she is a legendary personality. I mean, not only is she a great coach, but, you know, the way that she interacts is brings so much attention to the college game. You know, it would be bad for her to get kicked out. Maybe it'd be bad for the brand of women's basketball to tear this thing open and see what's in there. But no doubt I already wanted to see it, and her talking about it just makes me want to see it that much more. All right, when we come back, it's time to hit the expressway. We'll take you commercial-free to the top. We have a rim session. We have an edition of baseball stuff and a look at all the developing stories coming up next right here. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Mike McCarthy with Adam Schefter, the lack of moves in free agency for the Cowboys. Here's Big Mike.
I'm a big believer in a second or third year jump. You know, we have some young players. We got some guys coming back off of IR that were young players that we're excited about. So we are definitely improving. You know, we're just not part of the free agent market right now.
So is that what Cowboys fans can hang their hat on, the fact that there are guys coming back that are going to be getting better because people keep waiting for the Cowboys to make moves?
Well, I think that, and also, it's. I mean, there's a lot left. So, I mean, it's, you know, you'll probably have a market right before the draft or post draft, and then you got your June 1st market, and you know, obviously, we'll have another draft class. So, I have great confidence in our roster.
Yes. Okay. So he talked second to third year jump. You're looking at Tolbert. Do you think he's going to make a jump? We're going to see the best from Tolbert, or is he?
See, that's the issue. I mean, we want to focus on guys like Schoonmaker and Overshone and Mozzie Smith. Okay, Sam Williams, where you at?
Yeah, Sam Williams has potential.
Yeah, where are you
DeMone
at?
DeMone Clark.
Tolbert, Clark. There's others.
Can Ferguson go next level?
Yeah, Ferguson is the one guy to me that you've thrown out there, and when you lost Dalton Schultz, he elevated his game to the point now he's like, it's one of the best 5-6 tight ends in the league.
Right.
Right there.
He's the only guy that's met or, in his case, exceeded expectations.
Yeah, absolutely. See, that's the thing. They need others to take that jump that we've seen from Ferguson. You know, and until they get that, then, you know, if you had guys making the jump, then I can understand not playing in free agency.
Right.
You know, I can understand if Tolbert's already doing – like, wow, Tolbert looks like a young and up-and-coming receiver.
If all these guys are on the right trajectory, then okay. Yeah. But virtually none of them are.
Yeah.
They're all giant question marks.
That's
Tolbert
exactly right.
Hasn't proven to be more than just a guy. DeMone Clark, same thing. Mozzie Smith. I mean, you name them over the last two draft classes for the most part.
Yeah.
What are we doing here? Deron Bland's another guy who has obviously exceeded expectations.
Kwamu. I mean, think about the guys. You know, go back a couple. I mean, there's some guys that need to step up.
Yeah.
And if they do, then, you know, Mike McCarthy's absolutely right. But if they don't, then no, he's going to be, you know, we're going to have another coach here doing something else.
It's not a plan for getting better. It's a plan for hoping to get better.
Yeah.
You know, Jerry Jones also said over the weekend that doing the deal with Tyron Smith would have ruined them financially into the future. So they're on very thin ice right now. They can't spend more. I think what you heard from Mike McCarthy there is a guy who's on his way to trying to put lipstick on a pig. You know, he's not really fully believing it. He's not passionate about the idea, but it's reality. He's going to try to make the most of it. And every time he sucks his teeth or, you know, takes a big breath or something, I just wonder, is that one of those tells like the FBI can say, yeah, if you do this, if you do that, then, you know, it's a sign that you're trying to deceive. Because there's no way you can go up there in an interview situation right now with Adam Schefter and be thrilled. But you don't want to go on there and complain.
Yeah, you're toeing the company line.
I mean, for me, if you're Mike McCarthy, nobody else is going to hire you after this. Why go out?
I disagree.
Why, really?
I do. I disagree with you because what he's proven, what he's proven is that he worked with Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones.
Yeah.
And worked through all of that. I guarantee you, if he was in Charlotte, Phoenix, Atlanta, they'd have a statue in the front of the stadium the way 36 wins.
So
I think he resuscitated his career.
So if that's the case, then I don't have to kiss Jerry's ass. I don't have to try to pretend like it's all good and we're going to be great.
But that's what you don't want to be the guy that just totally. He understands he's got maybe 10 more months of this.
Yeah.
He is going to play the high road card. He's going to. Because he knew what happened to him. What happened to him at Green Bay? Yeah. Everybody was talking about him walking out of Green Bay.
Well, I wish he'd do us the favor and please, somebody that's worked here, tell the damn truth about what it is to work with the Joneses. Yeah. You want to maintain the friendship because Jerry's cool. Mike, Cowboys Nation needs you to explain how jacked up it is. And you going along so you can get your $5 million this year before he fires you is not helping us.
He there's no way in hell that he is happy about the sit. Now, there's people that might tell you that, you know what, Mike's okay getting let go. He did what he had to do. He lost his job in Green Bay. He had to sit out. He came back. He won division titles.
Made the playoffs.
Yeah. His first year was an absolute disaster. But since then, everything has been on the up for him other than winning, you know, all these playoff games. So to me, he's resuscitated his career to the point that one of these teams that are going to look at him and like, God, he's an established guy. Yeah, this is a guy you can actually win, you know, you can win with.
I mean, for me, the national reputation on Mike McCarthy is not high. And then we just saw Pete Carroll and Bill Belichick not get hired. I don't know if older guys that won the Super Bowl 15 years ago are going to be that big. But you make some great points about how he has rehabilitated his image.
Yeah.
You know, it's way up from when he left Green Bay.
No, it's absolutely. Everybody in Green Bay, and they had he had guys like me talking about how lazy he was and this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
You know, he has had success in the NFL. And he's... You know, you look at the roster and all that. You could say, well, it's Will McClay and all that, but you know, somebody had to coach these guys, and they've won division titles. So, to me, somebody out there will look at him and now, if he wants to, if he wants to coach again, he might not want to. I don't think he realized how difficult it was to coach here.
You're right about that.
He needed the job,
and we loved it when he was surprised and was firing from the hip there those first couple of years.
Yeah.
You know, when he was getting his education on what it was like to work here.
Yeah.
And, you know, he has decided to deny that part of his reaction. Hopefully he tells the truth when he's gone and, you know, we can get around to it. But he's probably going to cherish the fact that he's got friends on the Cowboys now. It's part of the brand. It's part of Jerry's likability. Nobody wants to, say what the truth is. And that is, you know, it's not a franchise that's serious about winning a championship. Just say it, Mike, please. Say it to Adam Schefter. Say it to Tom Pelissero. Say it to everybody. Say it to Jay Glazer. And, you know, put as much effort into that as you did getting this job, and we'd all love you, okay? That's the way you're going to earn Cowboys fans' respect. Now, maybe you just want Jerry's respect. I think you already got it. Yeah. For Deion Sanders' next trick, he'll try to game the draft. The Colorado coach saying his son Shador and two-way star corner Travis will decide where they go in the draft and not the other way around. I know where I want him to go. He said on the Million Dollars Worth of Game podcast, it's certain cities that ain't going to happen. It's going to be in Eli, says Deion. You think he's doing it right, Chief?
I get why he's doing it. And ultimately, it comes down to if you're going to be good enough to have these type of options and make everybody else play by your rules, then kudos to you. Like, if you've built up enough of that leverage because you're such a badass, and you've seen that from Caleb Williams a little bit this offseason, you've seen that from Marvin Harrison Jr. a little bit, and some other of these prominent dudes, like, listen, if you've garnered up enough leverage because you're so awesome on the field, then you can dictate things. So I don't think the season you just saw from Shador or that team qualifies for, hey, you get to dictate things, but maybe this next season will. And if you're clearly the main dude, then, yeah, you can start calling your own shots.
Man, it'd be great to see him with a protection and a running game. You know, what's that look like? Because he's kind of been on the periphery of the outsiders looking into the Heisman conversation.
But you can understand, like, we know how important it is to your surroundings. Yeah. Like, these quarterbacks, how different their career could have been with one franchise compared to being drafted by another. And Deion Sanders certainly knows that better than anybody. So, of course, I get you wanting to, especially as a quarterback, putting me in a position to succeed. And that oftentimes is not the team with the first overall pick.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt.
Nothing surprises me anymore about what we're doing with professional sports and the way that players, coaches, others can manipulate how things have been done. And I think, Dawson, we always talk about this. I think there's a lot of good for the betterment of what things, but I do think there's some things that do worry me that the draft and how it's set up and stuff like that for so many years. Yeah, maybe there needs to be some changes to it, but I just, you know, I if I'm a guy and I need a quarterback and I'm doing everything I can to get the best quarterback, and Sanders is one of the best ones, but he doesn't want to come play for me, you know, my livelihood's on the line here too. You know, sure. I'm getting manipulated. You know, the system's getting manipulated here. Mm-hmm. And I have the utmost respect for Deion Sanders in Colorado. I have to go through the school and evaluate his players and all that. But man, if you're keeping me from getting the best quarterback just because my team is not good enough for you, then how else am I going to build my team if I don't have players like your son who can be a difference maker for me? You know, and you're going to manipulate this?
Yeah.
I don't have respect for that.
Well, you just said nothing in sports surprises you now. Are you guys seeing this story about Jontay Porter of the Raptors?
No, what happened? Oh, this is another gambling story, isn't it?
We have another investigation involving sports gambling with a current player. Now, this is a basically a no-name player, Raptors center, subject of an NBA investigation into irregularities on prop betting involving himself. So you initially think, this is like the truest version of this guy betting on himself here.
Sure, that's what it sounded like.
Okay, but listen to this from, this is from ESPN. Woj just dropped an article and whatnot. Listen to this and tell me how you understand it, because I think it might be the exact opposite of betting on yourself to succeed. It says, in the game on January 26 against the Los Angeles Clippers, there was increased betting interest on the under for Porter props, which for the night were set at 5.5 points, 4.5 rebounds, and 1.5 assists. There was also an over-under for Porter's made three-pointers, which was over-under half a three-pointer made. That night, Porter played just 4 minutes before leaving the game due to what the Raptors said was a re-aggravation of an eye injury he suffered 4 days earlier in a game against the Memphis Grizzlies. He did not score in that game against the Clippers. He had 3 rebounds and 1 assist, and he did not attempt a 3, meaning the under hit on all of his props.
Yeah, that's tough. That's a banning.
The next day, as part of a daily report to users on betting results, DraftKings Sportsbook reported that the under on Porter's three-pointers was the biggest money winner for bettors of any NBA player props from games that evening.
Oh, no. He shared it with his friends.
Porter played 19 minutes 2 days later and scored 12 points with 7 rebounds and 3 assists. On March 20th, in a game against the Suns, Porter played just 3 minutes before leaving the game due to what the Raptors said was an illness, and he did not return.
Wow.
Oh.
He did not score. He attempted and missed one shot, and he had 2 rebounds. Sportsbooks had his over-under set at around 7.5 points and 5.5 boards. The next day, DraftKings Sportsbook reported to its users that Porter's prop bets, again, were the number one moneymaker from the night in the NBA.
Yes. He'll never play again. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely not. He will be more banned than Pete Rose is in baseball, because this is a relative no-name player. The league needs him not at all. And so they will make a huge statement out of this guy, but he's basically betting on all of his unders to hit, and he is making damn sure they do.
As soon as he gets one less rebound that would break the bet, he's like, "Oh, I got to get out of here.
Dude,
my stomach's rumbling."
Oh, I'm sick.
Yeah, I think we're going to continue to hear more and more of this and see more and more of it. And it's no wonder that the league's fought this for so long, because greed is undefeated in every avenue and every capacity that you can find it.
He had signed a 3-year, almost $6 million deal back in 2020, I guess.
So the contract's ending, and he's like, crap, before this thing is over, I'm going to get a gambling bag going off of.
He's on a two-way contract now, so
yeah.
This is his best way to make as much money as possible.
He got used to that NBA lifestyle and that 3-year, $6 million contract, and when it was over, he got a two-way deal and was like, man, I'm going to have to figure out a way to supplement this income. And bada boom, bada bing.
Gosh.
You know, next thing you know, you're trying to keep up with the Joneses, hold the image of a lifestyle. You got to do what you got to do to make the more money come in.
Okay, so do you think this is him by himself just putting a buttload of money every time on his unders? Or like you mentioned initially, do you think he's letting his friends know, hey, fellas, my unders are hitting tonight? Winky wink.
At first, I thought, man, this guy was just sharing it with his friends. Like, hey, everybody get in on this. You're constantly asking me for money. How about you just do this instead?
Yeah.
But then when you explained his contract situation, how he was making 2 a year, and then that went down to a two-way contract, whenever you're coming up to the league to make your games before you go back to the G League, if you're going to play, you got to maximize that. So I think it was probably just him. And as it worked the first few times, he got greedy and increased the level of his bet, thinking, yeah, everything's going to be fine. You know, it's the near miss syndrome.
Yeah, the level of detail is way too much when it comes to these sports books and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's not necessarily they're going to catch you overnight. You're not going to wake up the next morning and be popped, but give it a little bit of time here.
Yeah.
You start testing them, they're gonna find you.
Okay, we'll get a little bit more hoop here in just a second. I wanted to mention the NFL banned the hip drop tackle. That officially happened a couple of hours ago. Dodgers Ohtani held a presser, said he never bet on sports, and that Ipe Mizuhara stole money from him and told lies. That was basically your takeaway. Mavs game night in Utah. Are we going to see the best from this team down the stretch? They have this game against the Jazz. I don't believe Jordan Clarkson is playing. John Collins is back, though, from that knock on the head. He did not get concussed, by the way. I think his ego was bruised, and he just needed a night off last week. I got a concussion from that. You got to be kidding me. but they're in Utah tonight, and then two with the Kings here. And yes, Brian?
No, back-to-back. Back-to-back tomorrow. They got Utah tonight, and then that Sacramento one tomorrow.
The Sacramento game's tomorrow.
Yeah. So,
and then they visit the Kings again before they come home. It's two
right.
in a row.
Yeah, they got they take off Wednesday and back at it there in Sacramento on Thursday. So
right on. We are set. And for more on that story and the rest of the association, here's the Chief.
Yes, sir. If you wouldn't mind, let's go ahead and cut the lights out. We'll put the kids to bed. The G-Bag Nation's going all 56 inches around the rim. And all the way through nine innings of glorious baseball. It is opening day week, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know. We're going to have to address the new additions to Globe Life Field concessions.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
So I might squeeze that in here at the end of this rim sesh.
Okay.
So just as a little teaser for you. But I did want to start.
We can do it at the top.
Do it at the top?
Yeah, let's do some baseball stuff at the top and then get Sands at 6:15.
Sexy. Okay, top of the hour. We're 15 minutes away from unveiling the brand new concession items at Globe Life Field. Don't you worry. Fear not. Those Mott Sticks, best in America, still there.
Great tease.
Free throws attempted last night between the Lakers and Pacers. Lakers 43, Pacers 16. The Lakers have a plus 420 free throw attempt differential this season. Second place is the Bucks. With just over half of that.
Wow.
People complain about the Lakers getting more calls than the next guy, and it is like the proof is in the pudding. Even when you go back to last season, the start of last season, including the playoffs, all the way up till now, the Lakers are plus 1,017 in the free throw differential. The second best team is the Knicks at 358.
That's crazy.
So the Lakers have, I mean, almost tripled the amount that the Knicks have in second place when it comes to the foul calls.
I think they are giving LeBron the benefit of the doubt. He's the old man. He builds great relationships with the officials. This team does go to the paint and attack the rim more than any team in the league. I don't know if those ratios jive. There's probably some favoritism or some bias being shown. Anthony Davis constantly attacking. Austin Reeves constantly attacking. I don't know. It looks egregious. I wouldn't be surprised if you controlled for multiple factors if, you know, the metrics would suggest maybe it's not that unfair.
Laker caping, man.
Just a hankering. And I'm sorry. I'm a Laker
wasn't
hater.
Expecting it. I was born a Laker hater. Yeah. I'm shocked right now.
My
this is
first
a heel
two
turn.
Words were beat L.A.
That's awesome. I hope that's a fact.
It might be.
Well, I'm going to take it and run with it. Adam Silver was on CNN over the weekend talking about how he's basically rendered the All-Star game not going to be competitive ever. And he says that they're going to look at USA versus international. USA versus the world for the All-Star game. That's going to be sort of their last-ditch effort,
didn't
Hail
work.
Mary attempt at making something
didn't
of
work in
the
hockey.
All-Star game. But he says, I just think maybe we're past that point where we're going to play a truly competitive game.
Yeah, it's
he's
fine.
At his wit's end.
$10 million.
It's a layup line for 2.5 hours. I'm
$10 million to the winning team. For $5 million of it goes to charity.
Yeah.
The losing team gets nada.
Maybe you're onto something.
I you want to make it competitive and then have these guys play for a charity. And then your charity gets nothing if you lose.
They were onto it a couple of years ago, and they had that alternate scoring system, and it made the fourth quarter kind of interesting, at least, where they were trying to win.
What was that
called? Elam finish,
something
I think.
Like that.
I think it was the Elam
email.
The Stapleford scoring system is in golf. I know that one, but I don't know the basketball one.
Well, Adam Silver has finally gotten to the conclusion that we've all gotten to. That game's not going to be competitive. Miles Turner, local legend, Trinity's own. He's an Indiana Pacer, and he had a block over the weekend that made him the franchise leader. Most blocks. He passed Jermaine O'Neal.
Oh, I thought you said the Duncan Dutchman.
You were going Rick Smits?
I was going Rick Smits.
Smitsy.
Or maybe Antonio Davis.
Mm.
Not to be confused with Dale Davis.
Jermaine O'Neal has been passed by Miles Turner. Congratulations to Miles Turner. I was also not expecting this. How do you react to this sentence? D'Angelo Russell is the new franchise record holder for threes made in a season for the Los Angeles Lakers. 185 and counting.
He has improved his game a lot.
that was better, shocking.
Better
to
than
me.
I thought, outside shooter. But I think this goes to they have so few shooters that he is always on the court as a floor spacer. Probably. He's the corner three guy. He's the weak side. I'll shoot the three guy to give you some space, because besides him and Reeves, it's just it's amazing how any modern team would build itself in such a way.
Yeah. They did the Spencer Dinwiddie thing, buyout, and he's been just poochies. Mm. And yeah, but I guess that's the case. I just figured there was a Sasha Vujicic year or something like that with the Lakers where it was just nothing but threes. You know, yeah. He's just a threes only kind of dude playing alongside a Kobe Bryant or something, but it's D'Angelo Russell who has the most threes in a season in Lakers history. It just doesn't even feel right saying it, but it's true. How about this for a stat of the day as well, as we welcome in a little bit of our college basketball friends on this one? Okay, North Carolina's starting five, average age, 22.2 years old. Oklahoma City Thunder starting five, average age, 22.6 years old.
Wow. Great job by the Thunder front office in putting this thing together. You know, when they moved away from all of those guys, you knew it was possible that they could have something special, maybe even as special as KD, Harden, and Westbrook all in their prime in the same team at the same time.
Yeah.
But I'd say they overachieved, and they still have more dry powder in form of these picks. Dude, they might not be done yet.
Nope. I know, man.
The only thing that saves us is they're not going to be able to keep it together for more than 3 or 4 years before the money starts kicking in. And then with that size of that market, they'll blow way into luxury tax territory. You can still only have two superstars no matter how many you draft.
They're in a situation, aren't they, where they're in the playoffs and they can potentially have a lottery pick?
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
They are the one seed. I believe they're still the one seed in the West while also having a lottery pick in the upcoming draft. It's pretty insane.
Yeah.
And we'll see how they fare in the postseason, but that's clearly a legit basketball team. Despite how young they are, they're going to be a team to be reckoned with for the next few years, and that's going to be tough for the Mavs.
It's so genius. It's what I want all of my sports teams to do. Can you win the championship? No. Do you have one of the best five players in the sport? No. Okay. Trade all of your good players for draft picks, and you're going to be horrible next year. So congrats, there's a top five pick. How many more top five picks can you get, you know? And just keep turning it over. Free agency. We're going to sign one of the best players and then trade him 6 months later for another pick. And until we have a team like OKC, we're not going to stop. Mm-hmm. And as a fan, I am so used to the season ending in massive disappointment. Hell, even when you win 12 games and lose in the playoffs, the feeling of massive disappointment is bigger to me than watching a team draft and try to get superstars and be bad 5 years in a row. I'm going to be miserable at the end anyway. Just make it a process and ensure you get Hall of Famers. And don't try to win it all until you have lots of them. It should be very easy. And because there's so many owners out there who are just like trying to sell tickets and put butts in seats, there's not a lot of teams that try this.
No, there's not, because nobody really has that level of patience.
Yeah.
You know, but especially when you're a small market team like Oklahoma City, this is the long play, and it can be a bit grueling, but this is how you have to do it, because you can't just go buy the superstar like a team like the Lakers or any of these, you know, coastal sort of teams, big markets can just be like, hey, we can circumvent all this draft and have to be patient and everything. We can just go buy somebody. But when you're Oklahoma City, you have to build the way that they've built, and now it's paying off in a huge way for them. And they got a starting five that's sitting top of the conference, and they're all basically under 23 years old. It's pretty incredible. Now, here is some sound from the Miami Heat's Bam Adebayo. He's a big man, known for his defense. The offense has really come along over the last few years. All-star player. He's now invoked a three-point shot into his game. He actually had a three-point buzzer beater to win versus the Pistons like a week or two ago. He's starting to take and make more three-pointers. And listen to this interaction he had with the media after the game last night.
One more question. Because of your threes, is that something that you specifically kind of working at it at the moment, or is it just coming up naturally that you're starting?
I woke up one day and just felt like shooting threes. Not even gonna lie. I just woke up one day. I was like, I'm gonna shoot threes today.
Okay.
All right.
I wish I could do that with anything. I wish I had that type of talent where I could just wake up and decide, yeah, I'm going to do this. And when I start doing this, I'm going to hit game-winning threes because of it, just because I'm that awesome.
It looks good when he takes them, to be honest with you. I'm kind of surprised this hasn't become a thing yet. You know, some centers, bigs, just in general, they look awkward out there.
Mm-hmm.
It takes them forever to shoot it. But, you know, I saw him at the All-Star game dorking around with it in transition. I'm like, man, that's a nice three ball. So, yes, you want your big men shooting threes. You need your big men to shoot threes so you can actually have them be a threat and, you know, have everybody on the perimeter.
Did anyone hear the Kawhi Leonard laugh in there, by the way? Come on.
Wow, two people, dude.
I've heard that laugh from. Bam Adebayo, Kawhi Leonard.
Good call right there, Chris Strong.
Both fun guys.
Yes, they are. Now, how about this for a little NCAA? Oh, and I just wanted to mention, by the way, a guy like Bam Adebayo, who was a youngster coming out. I think he was a one-and-done Kentucky guy who had nothing really in the way of offensive game coming in. Look at that development. And when you look at a guy like Derek Lively, how much can he develop over the next few years here where you come into the league with one skill set, you put the work in, and a half decade later, all of a sudden, you're a big man that has a lot more to his game. You're not just the lob threat to Luka, which, hey, we appreciate Derek Lively. Keep doing it, my friend.
Yeah.
But how much, I mean, looking at a guy like Bam Adebayo, hey, you come into the league, you're athletic, you're here to play some defense, bring some energy, and then all of a sudden, now you're an all-star player, you've developed an offensive game, and you've developed an outside shooting game. Man, Derek Lively, take a page out of that book.
Man, especially when Bam learned to dribble, you know,
he can run a little point.
It's crazy.
I was like, gosh, dang it, dude.
Yeah. Like, how do you show up in the league at, you know, 6'10 or so in this era and not have the dribbling? Like, they make you a 10 times better dribbler than when you were drafted. I think there's a lot going on there, you know, like, how could you be that good of the sport and fail so much? But it's pretty cool the skill set they can add. You know, I think the Mavs did a similar thing with Dorian Finney-Smith. You know, just project type of players.
Right.
And if you're willing to put in the time, you know, kids, that's the inspiration right there. You know, whatever you're not good at, it's probably just a lot of hard work away from being a strength.
How about this for a college basketball nugget involving the Duke Blue Devils, the 4 seed here. They will be playing the 1 seed Houston Cougars on Friday at the AAC right here in our backyard. I saw this on Reddit, college basketball Reddit. Duke has not beaten a higher seed. They look great right now early in the tournament, but Duke has not beaten a higher seeded team since 1994.
Wow.
Really?
March 26, 1994, senior Grant Hill led 2-seed Duke to a win over Glenn Robinson and 1-seed Purdue in the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
That is the last time Duke has beaten a higher-seeded team. Since then, Duke is 0-5 against higher-seeded teams, and 4-seed Duke now plays the 1-seed Houston on Friday. So Duke will be looking to beat the first higher-seeded team in the tournament in the last 30 years.
Yeah, I was talking with John Machota, the big Duke fan. He is not expecting a victory this week, and he's excited that it's a home game for him that he doesn't have to travel, but he's not expecting Duke to show up. Well, Duke will show up, but he just feels like Houston's a little bit better team.
Tough challenge. I think it's cool that, you know, you've moved on from Coach K and you continue to make the tournament and have success. It's, you know, I think overall a positive for them as they try to, you know, get back to that spot atop the game. Appreciate you, Chief. Little rim session most days when we can. We'll get baseball stuff coming up next. The new menu items, including that item in Hurtado that we cannot wait to consume on Thursday at opening day. Then we'll get Sands and the Horn as Rangers pregame is coming up at 6:30, and we're back with you here in the G-Bag Nation.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.